Philippines President Benigno Aquino III has been widely credited with turning the tide of the generations-long history of corruption in his country. But the government and civilian democracy in the Philippines is being tested by this national calamity, which the president has already declared this week. Richard Chu is an associate professor of Philippine colonial history, Pacific Empires, and Asian Pacific America at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Professor, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
So how does the special relationship between the U.S. and the Philippines both assist in the recovery effort and maybe complicate the recovery effort and the ability of the Philippines to respond?
I think I would look at the situation from a historical point of view. As most people know, the United States colonized the Philippines for about 50 years. And during that time, they created a political system, a so-called a democratic system, but they also created a system where people engage in patronage and clientelism. In other words, Filipino officials can only get elected to government positions if they have a strong backer from the American colonial government. And at the same time, economically, the U.S. colonial government created an economy that was controlled by a few families, creating an oligarchic society, so to speak. And after 1946, when the Philippines gained independence, these few families continue to run the country, and they continue to engage in a patronage system of politics. And so they get voted to power by people who are loyal to them, whom they think would serve their best interests, but not the interests of the nation as a whole. So that is kind of a colonial legacy that the United States left. That might be seen as a disadvantage to the current culture of corruption in the Philippines. But at the same time, this special relationship is quite beneficial right now. So you can see that the United States is pouring in money and sending warships to aid in the relief efforts.
Although the infrastructure that the U.S. Invested in the Philippines was mostly military, and a lot of that has been dismantled in the years since the end of the dictatorship in the Philippines. I'm wondering if the Aquino family is one of those oligarchic families, and that the clock is really ticking on the level of cynicism that the people of the Philippines will express towards the president, which could spur all kinds of political instability in the country where there's been civil war really over the last decade or so.
I think most people still see Aquino, the current president, as incorruptible. And he was certainly much better than his predecessor or predecessors, except for his own mother, Corazon Cojuangco Aquino, who was president from 1986 to 1992. But even though he has tried to solve the issue of corruption by placing honest men or women in the government or in government positions, the culture of corruption is so embedded in our society. It is systemic, it's structural, that in order to change things, you really have to overhaul the system as well as the mindset of people. And I think for now, the people, they're so used to all these calamities and the government being corrupt and inept that I don't think it would spur or create a big tide of cynicism against the Aquino government. We've seen these disasters happen year every year, and how the government had been responding. So I would predict that after a few months, the same story happens again, that we will still be embedded in the culture of corruption.
Well, there'll be certainly time enough for that kind of cynicism against the government. For now, the immediate concern is the rescue and recovery effort in the Philippines. Richard Chu, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Richard Chu is an associate professor of Philippine colonial history, Pacific Empires, and Asian Pacific America at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.